Good evening. Happy to see you all out this evening. I hope the time that you'll find that the time that you spent with us this evening will be well worth it. I know there's a lot of other things on people's minds. This is Super Bowl Sunday night, I guess. I don't follow sports. Now, it's very important to a lot of you, and if you notice, I don't have a watch on, but I'm sure some of you will be glad to turn around every once in a while and look at the clock to remind me of what the time is. But I'll do my best to present my thoughts in a concise way that we can get the thoughts across to you in a quick manner, a meaningful manner, and let you go home with those thoughts that you can apply those. I'd ask that you also keep in mind tonight someone very special. A lot of you know Tracy Beck that used to go here. Her husband is, to my understanding, is preaching his first sermon tonight over at West Carrollton. That's very good. So keep him in mind tonight as we go through the lesson. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight about sheep, shepherds, and the church. Now, most of you have seen sheep on TV, seen them in cartoons, a lot of different places. You might drive by and you might see a few sheep around here in the pasture areas. You don't see that many of them around here, though. And a lot of our understanding of sheep comes through what we see in movies and the such, and there are some misconceptions. Probably most of us have seen more sheep in Bugs Bunny cartoons than anywhere else, the sheep and the coyote. You see that a lot. Well, for some reason, as we look through the Bible, through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people could have been spoken of in a lot of different ways. The Bible uses or talks about pigeons, talks about cattle, donkeys, goats, camels. But for some reason, God refers to his people as sheep. And the church leaders, the Bible does not talk about them as being bankers, although bankers are good with money. Doesn't speak of them being carpenters, although carpenters do a lot for us. They're good builders. They have to plan. There's a lot involved in that. And Jesus was a carpenter. It would have been very normal for him to have used his everyday occupation to talk to people. He doesn't refer to them as managers, although managers are needful to make sure that things are accomplished. And he doesn't even refer to church leaders as being farmers, although farmers have to have a lot of patience in growing, in anticipating what's coming ahead, and in trusting in the Lord. But just a little bit off from farmers, he speaks to them as shepherds, as those who take care of sheep. So I'd like for us to look at some qualities of sheep, different things about a flock, maybe something you haven't heard before, maybe something you haven't considered, and also of shepherds and how the two would work together. Now here's the fine print, the disclaimer that comes with it, and I'll probably try to read it rather than just kind of paraphrasing it. I've had this lesson in preparation for a long time, and nothing in it is intended to reflect how I feel about anyone in particular, the elders, the preacher, or even this congregation. This is about sheep and shepherds. So since the Bible describes us as sheep and the elders as shepherds, while I talk to you about sheep and shepherds, I'd like you to keep that in mind and try to think of as many parallels as you can to the things which we discuss in the church or as Christians. Okay, one other thing to get out of the way. You may think, okay, what does he know about sheep? I mean, is it something I can read out of a book? Well, there are a few of us out here that grew up around sheep. And I'll just tell you, our farm was not a big farm. We had one cow. We had one pony. We had a bunch of chickens, two ducks. Never had more than two ducks. We used to raise turkeys every year. And turkeys don't last longer than a year because they just die off. They're so stupid. We'd start off with 12 turkeys. Dad would always go down and buy 12 turkeys to begin with. And by Thanksgiving, we were lucky if we had one still alive. But we did raise sheep, and that was something Dad raised from year after year. And we had not a big flock of sheep, but a flock of sheep. So I grew up out in and around them a little bit, and it's from that I'll be speaking where I bring my knowledge of sheep to you this evening. I always get a little wool on my throat when I start talking about sheep. Lambs. We'll start with the lambs. Lambs are the babes in a flock, the babies. They're real wobbly, they have little spindly legs, they're very fragile, and they're very warm. You'd be surprised at how warm a lamb is. Probably warmer than a human baby. And it won't survive if left alone. Will not survive if it's left alone. They must have milk for food. And it's really, really interesting to watch them when they feed. Because when a baby lamb is getting its milk, the little tail just wiggles just like crazy. It is just so excited about getting that milk. They must grow and develop before they can even eat grass. They're totally dependent on that mother's milk. It reminds me a little bit of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, where it says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Lambs are also very springy and very curious. The springy part is, I don't have any necessarily parallel to young Christians or new Christians, but they're so energetic. And you, if you watch a flock of sheep and have little lambs out in there, they'll be sitting there and they'll just go, boing, boing. They just spring up. It's the most curious thing to watch. But lambs are very curious too. They'll follow, they'll nose around, and they'll look about whatever's going on. They tend to stay by their mothers, but they're very curious. Ewes, that's E-W-E-S, not Y-O-U-S-E. Ewes are the female sheep, the mamas. They're highly treasured. A ewe is a very, very highly treasured sheep, primarily because it was what you got other sheep from. And sheep only have one or two lambs at a time. I'll talk about that a little more. But they're highly treasured. The lambs learn from their mothers. The lambs stay right beside their mothers for the most part. Now, if the lamb's not watching and the mother walks on off, it may get detached from it and they'll have to reconnect back up. But they usually stay by their mothers. And the mothers are the first line of defense. If something comes up, a predator walks up, someone they don't know, or a dog, or some other animal, the mother will get out there between the lamb and the whatever the predator is, and she'll just stomp her foot. Now, that's all she does. She doesn't do anything more than just stomp her foot. She tries to scare him off with that. Look real stern at him and stomp her foot. She does what she can do. And if that doesn't work, if that doesn't scare off the predator, well, she runs. The buck sheep are the male sheep. And a flock tends, a lot of the sheep in the flock will tend to follow the buck. He's the most dominant sheep there. And they may follow others also, but they'll tend to follow a buck. When there's more than one buck in a herd of sheep or in a flock of sheep, they fight. They just fight. We used to have at least two. We might have had more than two at a time, but when we had two buck sheep, I remember the two would go at it just day after day after day, just butting their heads out there until their heads looked like hamburger. They just beat themselves senseless. Now, bucks aren't bad sheep, and even this action isn't bad. It's just directed at the wrong enemy. They aren't the enemies of one another. So a flock benefits by having more than one buck. They're there for more protection. They will go the further step beyond what the mother sheep does, where she just stamps her foot. The buck, after he stamps his foot, he'll stand out in front of the others, he'll stamp his foot, and then he'll put his head down, he'll try butting whatever it is that's a predator to the flock. But both of those bucks were good sheep. They just need to be separated. Put them in different pastures with some of the different sheep, and it was the best of both worlds. Now, there's another animal that you wouldn't think would be in a flock of sheep, but that's a goat. It's very common to have goats in with your flocks of sheep. And the Bible speaks of that in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33. And you might have wondered, why is it even there? It says, "But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right and the goats on the left." Now the sheep were very valued. And as you would bring them in to sell them or whatever, definitely the sheep are what you would sell off. They're the most prized ones. But out in a flock, when you're out in a pasture, and even today, you'll see in most of the farms that have sheep, they'll also have a goat. And what the goat is there for, the mother will flee, the buck will stamp his foot, then he'll butt. But the goat will stand there and butt over and over and over. A goat will aggressively try to fight off or take a stand against a predator. And basically, they were a sacrificial animal that if you have a pack of dogs or wolves or coyotes or whatever that would come, they're sacrificed so that the rest of the sheep can get away. They didn't value them as much. Try to think of church parallels as we go through this. We also have another person in this cast of a flock, and that is that of the shepherd. I want you to think of a shepherd for a moment. Think of it in your mind. What is he wearing? What does he look like? How does he smell? How old is he? Usually when you think of a shepherd, there's a picture that comes to your mind. Let's look at shepherds for a moment. Shepherds take care of a flock in ways that they can't take care of themselves. As I've already talked to you, a lot of the day-to-day things, sheep will go out in the pasture, they'll eat by themselves and the such. But for that defense, they'll take care of themselves up to a certain point. Beyond that, they need someone else to take care of them. A shepherd quite often owned the flock, but not always. Sometimes he was just a caretaker for the flock. But as being a caretaker or steward for the master, since the sheep were in his charge, he regarded them as his own. He treated them as his own. You might have seen in some of the movies, there was one out a couple years ago, really brought a good picture to light, the interaction between shepherds and their sheep. They were sitting around in the camp at night, and a couple of the shepherds had lambs draped around their neck and just kind of hanging down. It's almost like a neck warmer, if you will. Much as someone might take a cat and it just kind of hang over their arms, you know, just have that kind of droopy feeling. Lambs are very much like that. They're very soft, very tender. Sheep are just very soft animals, but especially the lambs. They're very human-like. What the noise that they make? I promised my wife I wouldn't make sheep noises tonight, but it's very close to a baby's cry. Very, very close to a baby's cry. A shepherd regarded the sheep as part of his family. They were his children. When we talked in the verse where Nathan came to David and told the story to him about the man that had one ewe lamb. And the relationship that he had with that one lamb, it meant the world to him. And that's much how the shepherds felt about their animals. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, it says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are with young." You have a very loving picture there of the shepherd for his flock. And again, they're there to defend the flock against what they can't defend themselves. Much of what he protects them from, they don't understand or see as a threat. Much of what he protects them from, they don't understand and they don't see as a threat. I'll talk to you a little more about that a little later. In our picture of a shepherd, what does he look like? I want us to consider a passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 33 through 37. "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing how he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. What trust he had in God. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. We look at this shepherd boy, David. We even have a song. There's a little boy David. There's a shepherd boy David. It's been a long time since I sang that song. But it was, a little boy David down by the babbling brook. Boy David, five little sons he took. And how he went against Goliath. A shepherd became a shepherd somewhere at the age of accountability on up. When you're responsible enough to go out and take care of the sheep, that's when you started learning to be responsible, going out and caring for those sheep. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, it talks of David as being the youngest of the sons of Jesse. And it was very common that the youngest one in a family was given that task. You know, we've got better things to do. You go out in the fields and take care of the sheep. But that's where they learn. That's where they develop. Now, something you might not consider, or this might be a fine point, but you know, when we think of shepherds, we're so used to putting the terms of elder and bishop and shepherd together that we usually think of shepherds as being old men, robes, you know, white beards and like that, and being the shepherds. That's not necessarily so. The New Testament actually doesn't refer to elders as shepherds, but it says that they are to shepherd the flock, to feed the flock, both in Acts 20 and 1 Peter 5. So while they are not specifically called shepherds, they are to treat the flock of God as if they were a shepherd. They are to shepherd the flock, shepherd the children of God. And we look at David. David was willing to fight for those who would harm the flock physically, willing to risk his life for those in his charge. And a good shepherd like David trusted in the Lord for help. We also have this image, and it's often said that a shepherd always leads a flock. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8, it says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, or from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. There is a place for shepherds to lead, and there is a place for shepherds to follow the flock. They don't have to be out in front all the time leading the flock. If the sheep are going about doing what sheep are supposed to do during the day, they're out in the pasture and they're grazing, he can just kind of follow along with them. We might also consider, too, how many sheep can a shepherd support? Would you say that a shepherd can take care of 10 sheep, or 50 sheep, or 100 sheep? Just a thought for you. I think that might, in our best thoughts of the tightness, the closeness that you see of shepherds in the Bible and their relationship with a flock, there's not that many to a shepherd, not that many sheep to a shepherd. But there are some things that will affect that. How well the sheep know the shepherd, how well the shepherd knows his sheep, how much trust they have in one another. And if you are around sheep, you'll find trust is one of the primary factors among sheep and humans or sheep and any other animal. It's a matter of, do they trust you? Do they trust you? There's one other player in a flock, and that is the hireling. The Bible refers to them as a hireling. That's a paid worker to help with the flock, someone that's not the shepherd. And in and of itself, a hireling is neither good nor bad. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter says there, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So he's instructing those that would be elders or overseers of a flock, do it not for money's sake. Don't be a hireling in doing it. Your motive needs to be higher than that. Nothing is wrong in working for money on a temporary basis, as a hireling does. But a shepherd has a long-term commitment to the flock. Usually as a hireling would come to fill in or to assist in some capacity, he moves on. But the shepherd is there. He's the staying power in a flock. cheap in general. Well, sheep are not dogs. Sheep are not dogs. They won't fetch your slippers for you. They won't get the newspaper for you. They're not pets. Though they're valued very, very highly, they're treated, and really they're almost treated more a part of the family than a pet would be in the situations where you have a flock of sheep. Because they provide so much. They provide food and clothing, parchment, the oils. If you're ever out at the fairgrounds sometime, if you've ever done it or not, if you can get close enough to the sheep, and if they'll let you do it, put your hands down in their wool. Run your fingers back and forth a little bit. Pull them up. They'll just glisten, because the wool has a lanolin on it. It's a very, very good oil. It takes care of your hands. They're very valued for that. There's a lot of good qualities with sheep. We used to raise sheep for such a long time, and Dad used to shear them all the time, and I smelled that lanolin all over all the time, that for a long time, when we'd go out to eat Greek food somewhere and they had gyros, all I could smell was lanolin, and I just couldn't eat them. It just smelled cheap. Sheep don't make it easy. Sheep don't make it easy for a shepherd by wandering off. And they do that. Think of the parallels. It's hard for a shepherd. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh the one which is gone astray? That doesn't mean that he abandons all the others, leaves them in an unsafe condition. But once he's assured that they are taken care of, if they're back in their shelter or others are looking for them, he goes out and looks for that one that's gone astray. That I do know of. So I remember growing up, lots of times, the sheep would be out in the pasture during the day. I'd come home and, you know, us kids growing up, we didn't necessarily count the sheep. But Dad would come in at night and he'd look at them and he'd say, there's one missing, or Granny's missing, or we had names for a lot of the different ones that we had there. And he'd say, go over the hill and look for them. And I'd have to run back in the field and look. And lots of times you'd find that a sheep had gone up. There's plenty of good pasture on this side. They'd work their way along a fence until they found a hole or some way to get through. They'd go through, and then they didn't know how to get back. And when dark came and the call was sent out for the sheep to come in, he had to have some assistance to get back. There's a lot of Christians like that too. When being sheared. Let me back up to that for just a moment. There was some urgency in that too. You couldn't leave the sheep out. The one predator that sheep have, and it's the same, I think, in about any country, is about any animal of the dog family. Dogs, wolves, coyotes, they all will attack sheep. And growing up, we even had to kill a few of our own dogs because they got in with a pack of dogs that went around to the various farms. And once they start eating sheep, they won't stop. And the only thing you can do is kill them. That's very sad, but that happens to them. And so to leave a sheep out overnight, there was some urgency involved in that, that you had to get the sheep, because there'd be a good chance that if the sheep wasn't brought in from being out in the field at night, it could be dead the next morning. When being sheared, sheep lie still, even if cut. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7, speaking of Jesus, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, and he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I remember watching many times my dad shear sheep. And sheep are strange animals. They don't make a lot of noise. If they're hungry, they make noise. If they need water, they make noise. If they're stuck on the other side of the fence, they make noise. But other than that, they're pretty quiet animals. And he would take a sheep, and he'd set it back on its rear end, and he had either a big pair of just blade clippers for cutting the wool, or he had this big contraption of belts and pulleys and gears that was electric clippers with this great big clipper end on it. And he'd just start going over, shearing the sheep. And if you do it good, you can pull it pretty much all off in one big piece. And you've seen on the movies where they take the wool and they throw it kind of as one big piece and just kind of floats out. It's very, very beautiful to see. But Dad would be along shearing, and I think Dad made more noise than the sheep did, because every once in a while, one eye would move over, and he'd gouge it, and he'd get a cut in it, and he'd like, oh, I'm sorry. And the sheep would never say anything. They're very quiet. Even when afflicted, they're very quiet. They're defenseless. They do need protection. They're not a strong animal. They have weak backs. I remember growing up, I used to try to ride our sheep, and they were about the worst thing to ride of anything we had on the farm. I rode our pig for a while, and finally, after a while, they sold my pig and bought me a bicycle and a savings bond. So I stopped riding the other animals. But they're very, very weak animals. They're chubby, and they're slow. Any other parallels? There are no wild, roving flocks of sheep. At least none that I know of. They're very timid. They're very timid animals. And I think if you had sheep, there's so many different ways that they're weak and vulnerable, that they depend upon someone to care for them. That if you took 50 sheep and put them out in a pasture, and you came back a year from then, whether it be 50 or whether it be more, I would give even odds there's going to be less. There's probably going to be quite a few less, because they have so many weaknesses, so many things that can affect them, so many illnesses. They have foot rot. They get foot rot when they've been where they shouldn't be. It's very bad. You can doctor them, you can clean them up, and they'll go right back into whatever it was that gave them the foot rot in the first place. They get worms or parasites, and that will kill them. But not only will it kill them, but they can spread that to the other sheep in the flock. Now, this is a point. I don't know whether this is a parallel. Well, I'll discuss this with you a little bit, and you can pull whatever you want from this. In olden times, the only thing that could be done for a sheep that had parasites was that you would separate it from the rest of the flock. If it had worms or some other intestinal parasite, it had to be separated, because you didn't want the others to contract the same disease, the same problem. And, you know, I think that kind of goes along with what we'd find in, like, 1 Corinthians 5, and the idea of purging out the leaven from among you. In the Old Testament, if you did that as a parallel to the sin that would come in among them, or that could afflict the other members of the family of God, they were told to take them out and stone them. So really, you had this choice. If you look at what the choices were for the sheep, you could separate them, another pasture, and you even had a problem that you couldn't even have other sheep go in that same pasture where that sheep was at. You pin it, something like that, but its droppings could transmit the problem. So you couldn't even have them in the same area that afflicted sheep was in. And if they didn't get better, if they didn't work that through themselves and become healthier, your only other choice was to destroy the sheep. Now, today, it's a little better for the sheep, but maybe not a lot better. And this is what they do. If a sheep has intestinal parasites, worms, there's a thing we used to use. They called it a drench. It looks like a syringe, about yay long. The tube on it was about this long. It had big loops on it. It had a big diameter barrel to it. And the tube on it was about as big as my finger. And what they would put in it is a lead-arsenic combination. You couldn't get it on your hands because it'd make you sick. And you had to hold the sheep, and you had to cram it down its throat, and shoot it in to where it would go down into its system. And that's the only thing that would cleanse it of those parasites. Now, that was hard. That was hard on the sheep. And you had to guess pretty well what you were doing, because if you gave it too much, it would kill it. If you didn't give it enough, well, it didn't kill the parasites. Sometimes, when we become so afflicted with sin in the church, You know, people say, well, there's a lot of positive, encouraging things you need to do to help people. And that's true. But when those don't work, sometimes you have to hold them down and give them the medicine they need. Sheep can be fooled. Sheep can be fooled. If I go to my brother Boyd's house, he has sheep now. He can stand out and say, here, lamb. I don't talk very fast or repetitively very well. But he'll go something like, here, lamb. And they'll all come running up. They know him. They know his voice. He can get out and walk in around the pen and around and among them, and they don't run from him. They know him. They know his hands. They know his smell. They know his voice. Now, there's something else that Boyd does, though. And that's, sometimes he'll give them grain, and he'll go like that. And they'll all come running for that. But you know what? I'm not the shepherd. But if I go out and get that bucket, I can, and they'll all come running up to me. Now, I don't care for them. We have to watch out for that. Not everyone who rings the dinner bell for us and says, here's God's word, have our best interests in heart. We always have to be on guard for that. So another thing that's affected by that in the feed, in the area of feed, and that's that lambs, sheep, a flock is healthiest when it gets out of the barn, out of the shelter, and goes out in the pasture and forages for itself on that which the shepherd has determined it needs to go out and work around in, feed in. Over the winter, it's very common. Very bad days, if you go through a long period of bad days and you're having to give them hay or you have to give them some grain to sustain them while they're there pinned up, well, you know, when the weather's good again, they'll all stand around and look at you. They don't want to go back out. They want that easy food. They want that easy food. I think Christians are that way a lot of time too. Rather than us digging into God's word and looking at it for ourselves, studying it for ourselves and working for that which we can find in it that'll benefit us, lots of times we're happy to come indoors and sit and wait to be fed. And it's not healthy for us. We need to be out and exercising. We also have, there are around-the-clock needs that sheep have. There are around-the-clock needs. In the wintertime, when it gets cold, a whole flock can be lost because of lack of warmth. There are lots of times Dad had to go out and rig up whatever heat lamps or whatever he could. Some of the lambs he'd have to bring inside, and we'd bring in the house and set them around the stove that we had to keep them warmed up. Or if we were getting ready, I do remember this one time too. We were ready to go to Tennessee. Car was loaded up. We're all waiting. One of the sheep was starting to give birth. Can't leave. Vacation goes on standstill until the lambs are delivered. Because that's a very crucial point for sheep in the birthing process. Lots of times the mother will die. They are fragile animals. My time is going. I've got a lot more to say, but I'll try to move on. I'll leave you hungering for some more information on sheep than I've got here. A couple other thoughts, and then the lesson will be yours. Basically, sheep graze in pastures. They're sometimes kept indoor in a sheltered area, a sheepfold. Now, sometimes that was a sheltered area, or sometimes it was, like if you saw in the picture up here where mountains come together and there's just kind of a little cove area back in there. You might have flocks go back and stay in there, and the shepherd could be out in front and kind of be on guard against anything that came to harm them. You would often have multiple flocks when you're out on the ranges, the pastures of sheep. Multiple flocks could be put together at the same place at night to share that protection. And the other shepherds could have some time with one another. They could, the several shepherds together could possibly defend the flock better than any one shepherd could. And we have that picture among us in John chapter 10, the passage that we have there. And as each shepherd would come in the morning to gather his sheep out, they would come out to him. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth him, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You look at the relationship the shepherd had with his sheep. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. The sheep know the shepherd. And the sheep are obedient. They follow the shepherd. Sheep are quiet animals that go about their lives depending on something higher than themselves for their continued existence. Sound familiar? There's a lot of value in a sheep. A lot of value in a sheep. They're very, very highly prized. You look at the love that the great shepherd has for his sheep. You know, and as you look at the things of physical sheep and the good qualities they have, the wool, the skin for garments, skin for riding. People talk about having a diploma being a sheepskin. They treasure that highly. They were used in sacrifices. They were used for food, and they were used for more sheep. As we think of sheep and Christians, sheep propagated one or two at a time. There are no litters of sheep. There are no litters of sheep, and it takes time. No grand schemes for producing new Christians. There's no grand schemes for producing new sheep. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Jesus speaking with Peter after his resurrection. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. He asked him the same question. He told him the same thing three times, but in a couple different ways. The first time when he said, Feed my sheep, the word he uses there is literally, Feed my sheep. Take care of them. Feed them. The second time when he asks him, he tells him to shepherd his sheep. There's a lot more involved in that. A lot more involved in that. And once Peter agrees to shepherding his sheep, Jesus goes back and asks him another time to feed his sheep. Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can we say that? Do we trust, do we believe in our Savior and our shepherd to that degree? 1 Peter 2 and verse 25 says, For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If you've wandered away, if you crossed over that fence and got into another field and can't find your way back, the shepherd's looking for you. He wants you back in the fold. You're treasured to Him. You're very valuable to Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. You're going to grab your songbooks and be opening to the page that's selected. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, the great shepherd of all the sheep, can make you be whatever He wants you to be. Whatever failings you have, He can help you overcome them. Whatever sin in your life, He can help you get forgiveness for that. Will you not come to the great shepherd tonight as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?